The following is a presentation of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by
the continuing adventures of Tony Space Monkey Dawson.
Tony has been making eyes at one of Paul's bartenders here as we've started this show. Tony, how is that going, by the way?
Not well. Not well so far.
Is she on eHarmony?
I don't think that.
Tony is on eHarmony. And so, how's that going for you, Tony?
Not so well.
But I know you guys were discussing strategy for drinking here today. Tony, what did you guys settle on?
We were trying to find the best tasting drink. Kamikaze Shot was the choice. Triple Sec, tequila, lime juice. So it tasted kind of like 7-Up, but with a bad burn, like cough medicine / 7-Up, citrus limony. And I don't feel sharp right now.
Did you say citrus limony?
Yeah, I don't feel right already.
So how many of these kamikaze shots have you actually had?
I had two. Somehow she explained to me that having two was better than having one, and she was attractive, so I just kind of nodded and smiled, and I don't feel right now.
There we go.
Tony, we're on.
I know, I'm trying.
Tony, we're on air.
Download the free Layfield Report app right now.
Stop the music. Stop
all
the music.
The globe.
Tony.
I have transitions. I worked on these for days.
Tony.
So upset.
How are you feeling?
I feel so bad. I don't feel sharp at all. I can't even hear myself. Now I can.
What do you feel like?
I just feel slow. I feel very sluggish. I would love to take a nap and start later, if that's all right.
That's fine. Go. Listen, take your headset off. Go sit on that stool. We're going to bring in a guest in just a moment, and you can go sit down and relax.
All right.
That might explain why some of our shows have gone off the rails. But
thank you for the warning.
Yes, indeed. Suitably warned. But all of us, except for the audio tech, have our heads on straight here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and you, my fan populace, have heard a new voice. So please welcome the newbie, I mean, our newest associate to my show, Mr. Chris Waters.
Hello, everybody. How you doing tonight?
There we are. And somebody who I dragged on this show because he owes me for last night's draft affair, DRM.
Well, the audio tech's the only one that he's still recovering from his adventures last night at said draft.
And he's having a little hair of the dog while he's listening in. And a perfect fourth for our show, fourth.
And after seeing two Undertaker matches on free TV in recent, this week, I had to make sure I was not in the year 2000.
Now, you did, but you have to give the dead man credit. He was probably thinking about going right back on vacation right after WrestleMania, but CM Punk beat him out the door.
That is true.
So, but Punk needed the vacation. He really did. His knee is still bugging him. He's has a bunch of other niggling injuries. And he's hoping to get a little bit of time off. So Undertaker, out of respect, volunteered to hop on a plane to London because he was going to get to beat up the Shield. Now, Chris, what did you think of Taker's matches this week?
It's good to see that even though he's been around forever and he's been around, he's been not as great in condition as he used to be, going by like even a couple years ago, it's good to see that he's still got what he needs to do to make impressive matches, and he's using what he has pretty smartly, which I've always liked Undertaker, even when I started watching wrestling, even though at the time I started watching, they were doing the fake Undertaker thing, but that's another story. So I've always liked Undertaker, and it's always good to see him on TV. It's been a while since I got to see him like this, and I missed most of March, so this is good for me.
There you go. VRM, I'm sure you enjoyed the six-man tag on Monday, despite the lack of diagrams.
Wait, what?
Oh, you didn't watch Raw. You didn't watch Raw.
Well, I know. I saw the six-man tag, but the diagram. What?
Okay. No. Chris, let me just put something out there. I have to put out our disclaimer regarding recapping shows. Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault. Okay. But I will at least explain this. Daniel Bryan was actually...
Oh, I remember. Supreme. I remember now. Yes, I remember now.
Okay.
Took me a second. Yeah. If he came up with those, I think Taker would have had one question for him.
Oh, yeah. He would have looked at those diagrams, and then he would have looked right at Mr. Bryan and say...
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Now,
yeah, it took me 5 seconds, but then I remembered.
There you go. Fourth, are you... Oh, how will I put this? Are you surprised that they let the Shield beat Taker and Team Hell No Monday night?
Kind of. I mean, I knew that Taker was the kind of guy who would put over whoever, but it was definitely a very interesting idea to give them the nod, so to speak.
And then Friday night came up, and I got to watch Undertaker versus Dean Ambrose.
The Markout moment of Markout Ambrose!
And I don't care who knows.
I think I heard her squee all the way from Florida here, so...
Let's just say I've kept a copy of the match for posterity.
Posterity.
As the soundbite tells you, posterity. And to this, Chris, even in a losing effort, how strong did the Shield look in the post-match beatdown?
Very. It's kind of, in a way, it kind of reminded me, even though the Shield's done a bunch of these before, it made me feel like when they did the original Nexus attack, not as long or as crazy as that, but it was still pretty good to see something so impressive to that. Although I will admit, with my Taker fandom, I'm still thinking he's taken big worse beatings than this before, but PG era and everything, I know. But it was still right. A fun moment. So. Yeah.
You make an interesting point, because I believe somebody had caught Barrett on Twitter and asked him, you know, kind of asked for a parallel between the Shield and the Nexus, and he was actually very complimentary about it. VRM.
Not following Twitter, so.
No, it's all right. I don't even have it in front of me.
But yeah, it's kind of drawing parallels not just to Nexus, but to the traditional heel team post match beatdown of the big name that we've seen all
since the NWO at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, they took care of business. They put Taker through the announce table with the triple powerbomb. Reigns speared him through the barricade that is supposed to protect timekeeper Mark Eaton, but he was unfortunately squashed in the effort.
That's just a timekeeper. Who cares? No.
Well, Taker's out till the next WrestleMania, and Mark Eaton will be back next week. Don't worry. Yeah. So. This is some of the good stuff that comes up because WWE does pull out all the stops when they do their European tours. And even though I am thousands of miles away from where the show was actually happening forth, it still looked like so much fun.
Yeah, I just think that it was actually quite an interesting show. I wish that Regal could have had a better showing tonight, but it was kind of cool to have him and Barrett in the same match.
That I did enjoy. Between the crowd reactions, and even though the match itself was brief, I mean, the whole crowd was into it. They were very, very happy to see two of their boys having at it. Although my brain was a little bent, VRM, at the fact that I heard a whole bunch of Britons cheering an Irishman.
Wow, talk about a faux pas.
Fella. Now, I know they did a lot. They brought out a lot of good stuff for the shows, and the fans reciprocated by fandangoing through most of SmackDown.
Most of Superstars too. Well.
Yeah, and I heard it on and off during Raw, where one of the storylines that was continued was the Cena and Ryback mess that I'm having trouble applying proper logic to. VRM, help me out here. Who am I supposed to be cheering for? Am I supposed to be cheering for Cena? Because I can't see it. Really. Pardon the pun.
Yeah, it's, again, one of those, you have really, it was sort of like what's the term I want to do for this, like, instant heel turn that's supposed to draw the heat, but it does the exact opposite. It's doing the exact opposite of drawing heat.
And Chris, not even Foley could get the heat turned the right way.
I don't think I've ever seen a more botched heel turn since WCW tried to turn Sting back in the late 90s, early 2000s, whenever that was.
No, I know the turn you're talking about.
Yeah, but this is just, it's not working. Right, they want to cheer Ryback. They want to boo Cena. Let them do it already, all right?
Thank you. You know, you're not alone in this. I do look forward to this matchup because it's going to be, you know, it's a pure power match. It doesn't have to be pretty.
Yeah, I mean,
and these two can go.
Yeah, man. I mean, Cena's good with power people. I mean, he's had good matches with Batista. He pulled out a miracle with Kali back in the days. Even one that I thought was going to be absolutely terrible that I actually kind of enjoyed when it happened was the Cena-Bobby Lashley match that happened. So I think Cena and Ryback could have a pretty good one out there.
So, Forrest, have you figured out what's going on with this feud? Because I still don't get it.
The only thing I can think of is that whoever decided to follow the Hogan-Paul Orndorff feud dynamic of 1986 should have learned that it would not work twice.
Not with this, because too many people are still into, if you will, Ryback. I've been a fan of his forever, and you know, Cena's a cool guy. Don't get me wrong, but Feed Me More Chance were almost as loud, if not louder, than the celebrated mixed reaction that John Cena gets when he comes out.
That is very true, yes.
And Feed Me More Chance at house shows, I speak from experience, would last the entire match. WWE, why would you throw this kind of pop away? No. Stupid. Wrong. Incorrect. Either that or they're trying to mitigate the Cena booing. It's not working.
They've been trying to mitigate the Cena booing for years. I mean, but it's never worked, I don't think. So.
The closest they got was in 2010 with the Nexus.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that for a moment. But Maybe against Kali. I don't remember. That's the only other time.
Yeah. So, but let's see. We had. Brock didn't go to London, but my dear Uncle Paul did. And he really, really should know better than to poke at the COO.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Yeah, because the COO doesn't just poke back.
No, he pedigrees back. Hard. And almost on top of the microphone.
I missed that. After the look at that.
Yeah, no, the microphone was was in range. And I was worried that he was going to end up on top of it, and that's a sharp point. Those are some sharp points on the edges of the microphone.
Yeah. Plus, it's not for the paycheck to crush a microphone, I'm sure.
Well, it's a paycheck that we couldn't afford to spend on a brand new microphone. Actually, VRM. Hunter was in DX mode, it felt, Monday night.
Even though I saw some of Raw, I didn't see all of it. This is one of the parts I missed.
I'm sorry. Well, it's pretty simple. Essentially, Uncle Paul went out there and showed off his brand new smartphone. He finally got rid of that brick because you can't get analog signals anymore. And was trying to read an email he'd received from the evil boss, that the answer would not be given until next week. So, yes, poke the COO, poke the COO, poke the COO.
Time to play the game.
Right. And he comes out and he looks at the cell phone and he says, "Oh, yeah, Heyman, I lied." And happily told us that yes, he would have no problems fighting Lesnar in a steel cage, and just to seal the deal, he pedigrees the hell out of my uncle. Which means I have to work tomorrow to try to see if we have to reopen the lawsuit from last year.
Oh boy.
I thought we had this settled. My Uncle Paul doesn't learn.
You think he would, because as a bald guy, I can know when you don't have hair, you don't have the things on your mind to worry about. But
there you go. But I get it's one of those glutton for punishment things, I guess. But
isn't it, Nikki? You've been a manager before. Isn't it a rule as a manager that when you sign up, you have to have the "we will find any way to get beaten up as possible as long as we can come back later on the show"?
Oh, no, it's just the clause is essentially we are a target so that our clients don't have to look bad.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's either called the Jimmy Hart rule or the Bobby Heenan rule. I forgot which one it was.
It might lean more towards the Bobby Heenan rule. And this includes and is not exclusive only to wedgies, stolen implements, ring bells to the ear, eating wigs, not splitting them, eating them.
Wearing weasel outfits.
The weasel outfits, being thrown through piles and piles of chairs.
And don't forget the atomic drop that Heenan sold that in a way only he could.
So there you go. It's essentially just, it's a hazard of the job.
Right.
And I was listing off a few of personal experiences. This also includes getting thrown out of the arena that you came to work that night. Physically. Okay. Some managers are required to take finishers. I am not on that list.
Not until they put you against Vicky Guerrero. No.
I hope that day comes. I honestly hope that day comes. Let's see. Speaking of the heel and face dynamic, it seems our power couple of Ziggy and Big E and AJ seems like the rift is slowly opening up. Big E doesn't seem to be as happy to be a bodyguard as he used to be, Forth.
Yeah, before he would just look kind of stone-faced. Now you can kind of see the anger in his face.
And some of the times, VRM, he would just stand there. He almost looked bored. Now he's like, come on, man.
Yeah, especially after the, I forget what he called it now, the Dolphin AJ time. That, he just looked like, what the hell?
You know, troop-fee-doo is not something he wants to listen to. And it's an interesting dynamic, Chris. It made me think of Batista in 2005 when he was distancing himself from Evolution.
I can kind of see that, but it's going to be interesting if they can make this as interesting feud between Ziggler and Big E. But I will, to get off a small tangent with Big E, I kind of find it funny that they're doing this with Langston on the show. And since I watched NXT, then on Wednesday, I'm watching him beat the crap out of Brad Maddox in a squash match, pretty much. And everybody's cheering him. Oh.
It's coming. The man has as much charisma as he does muscle. And that's... this is not just my big man thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking, for some reason I had this weird thought that I think Big E Langston is what they wanted Ezekiel Jackson to be, but he could never be. The big guy, that big black guy that they wanted to have make the future out of.
And Big Zeke's still lurking, but Langston has it.
Right.
Forth, do you see it? Go ahead.
I was going to say, I can kind of see that indefinable it factor in him. That his matches are decent, but also it's how he carries himself in his matches. I was going to say, particularly before he goes to the finisher, he has that expression in his eyes that just says, this has gotten real.
It's just, you know, there's a nice little path for it. Since we had a Divas Battle Royal on Raw to determine a number one contender to face Caitlyn, won by AJ by nefarious means. So, a power couple with two belts and one very jealous Brony Langston. Now what? I'm all for this, VRM. Just when Big E finally snaps and clotheslines Ziggler into next week.
Yeah. Dang, I forgot what my train of thought was going to be with that one. But
oh, okay. Let me. It's going to happen. And this is actually here's another weird thing for you, Chris. This being Ziggler's genuine championship run, albeit his second. His first one lasted all of 20 something minutes, and then Edge decided to screw all that up.
Now, it was Theodore Long that tried to screw all that up.
Okay.
Yeah. Think about it. Any problem back in SmackDown, we used to blame on Theodore. A friend of mine and I used to blame on Theodore Long, including Christian losing his title. But that's... We'll get off of that.
That's too big of a can of worms to open in here.
Okay.
As this is a very anti-Orton area.
Okay.
But, What I was going for, though, is isn't it intriguing that a guy who's getting his first genuine title run might actually be giving his bodyguard a, down the line when they do try to do the breakup, that they could do a little giveaway TV match where Big E might get his test title match?
It's possible that they could do that. I'm seeing, really though, it's, I'm trying to think how to say this, but yeah, I can see that being a test title match in the future. I don't know if they'll actually give him the title right away or if they'll have like a screw job ending or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I've seen, the guy, Big E, if they needed to, if they, like, say, worst comes to worst, Dolph gets injured and they can just turn Big E real, they have to turn Big E real quick and decide to have him beat him for the title, in which I don't think is the right move, but that's personal. But he has had practice being a champion before. He is still currently the NXT champion, and even though that's a smaller crowd, he is used to sort of being the face of a show. So if they give him the world title, it would be like just like the next step up from that in a way. And
oh no, you misunderstand me. I mean, oh, just a test, what I mean by the test title match,
okay,
is when a guy is fairly new to the company but is really taking off.
Mm-hmm.
You put him in a title match that, you know, as when you distance yourself from it, you know that that person's not going to win, a.k.a. Ryback at Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
But it's awesome that they're getting the shot.
Yeah, I
so
could...
So this is what I think is going to happen somewhere down the line. When Big E snaps that he might get that test title match, but I think they'll do it as a TV giveaway. I don't think they'll put it up. I don't think they'll put it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't think Big E, I'm not sure that they think he's ready for too much just yet in the regular matches just yet. That's why I think they're just doing the quick squashes and they had the tag match on there. But I can see them doing that down the line eventually, if they once they do eventually have the split for it.
Right. Now, VRM, going back to AJ for a second, tangentially anyway, the Battle Royal was missing a few divas, wasn't it?
I...
You didn't watch that part.
No, I watched it, but I wasn't really paying attention to it. After I saw AJ take a nice sweet chin music.
Hmm.
And I saw why were they counting through the top, through the ropes though?
That's they always do that with do that with the Diva Battle Royals anymore.
I think after I forget which one what exactly it was, but there was a Battle Royal when the Divas used to do it over the top rope style. Somebody got really, really badly hurt, and they decided to ramp it down a little bit. But of the participants, there were three specifically missing. The Bellas.
Yeah.
And Rosa Mendes.
Yeah, I thought the Bellas were missing.
Rosa's excuse wasn't all that great. She's claiming it's for personal reasons. News at large says, "Go home, Rosa. You're drunk."
Ooh. Is this news with a Z or an S?
That's what I'm still trying to find out, because it was, you know, I saw it on the boards titled "Go Home, Rosa, You're Drunk." That apparently she was actively intoxicated on the trip up, so we could have had another plane ride from hell. Though at least the view would be better with her running around. Never mind. Never mind. However,
my first episode, and we're gonna get thrown off the air.
No. I'll just end it. Let me just end that thought with something that you guys are probably thinking.
Oh, suck it, duck it, quack, quack!
Did it just give him?
So the Bellas are not on the tour because they're out promoting a All Divas reality show on E. Wait, it's on E. I can ignore it. Yes. I only know a little bit about. Go ahead.
Does anybody even watch E?
I do not anymore.
I occasionally just watch The Soup.
I've only watched The Soup when they had the WWE show, and other than that, I haven't watched it since they got rid of that Coming Attractions show that showed the trailers all the time for the movies. That's about the last time I watched it.
I might be getting my channels mixed up, but I stopped watching it when Chris Jericho stopped showing up on I Love the 80s. Oh, wait.
Isn't that a VH1?
Might be. Speaking of Jericho, he and Ziggler put on a barn burner on Raw. But unfortunately, Chris Jericho will not be participating in the World Heavyweight Championship match, meaning that I don't get a Jericho. Though they're kind of teasing, they've been teasing that they want to continue the Jericho Fandango feud.
And the music got a nice reaction.
Well, they were Fandangoing all through the shows.
So how big is the O2? Like 20?
20K?
Something like that.
Okay. But yeah, they had a full house both nights and just, or was that just one big taping?
That was two nights.
Okay. And the ones at the SmackDown taping were worse than at Raw. I heard a lot more Fandangoing on SmackDown, and that tells me that WWE isn't even bothering to edit it. They're going to let it play. Which, Forth, is very smart.
Yeah, it seems like they want to just have it kind of ride itself out.
Because at first, it seemed like they were going to try to stamp it out the prior week, which unfortunately, you know, I apologize to all of our listeners. We have had some issues in the booth trying to get stuff together for last week's episode. And, well, you know, things happen.
My bad!
Yeah, the problems seem to be spreading throughout the booth.
I just don't know what went wrong!
And it's just... It's been a mess over here, and even the engineer had something to say about it. So you will have to pardon our technical difficulties for the time being. This show Total Divas is going to have periodic appearances by other divas of the division, and one probably very lucky Daniel Bryan.
Yes! 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 Yes!
So I wonder if he's going to show up in Dazzler mode.
I have to think so.
And people said that Daniel Bryan wouldn't make it in the big leagues. He continues to be goofy as the WWE continues to tour. As we've had two birthdays went through this week, John Cena's and Kane's. Now, I was sent the John Cena birthday video, and I am slightly offended. John Cena no-sold his birthday.
Oh, he only sells merchandise.
I understand that. Chris, have you seen this video?
Yes, I have, actually. I won't spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but I will just say, semi-spoiler, I'm kind of surprised that they only did one thing there instead of the usual have every face in the ring attack the heels that are in the ring that they have done in the past, like around shortly before Money in the Bank 2011 when they had everybody beat up CM Punk, including Beth Phoenix at the time.
Yeah, I saw.
He didn't mind that. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I watched that. I watched the video when it first got sent to us. I'm like, that's the ending. Really?
That weak for
I'm guessing that was a quote unquote dark match segment. That was a very weak go home moment.
Yeah, because most of the time the birthday stuff, it's a wrestling tradition. You are going to get picked on your birthday. For Kane's birthday, a tout was released of Daniel Bryan and John Cena giving him those fuzzy, stereotypical Russian hats, and probably making him wear them. I have not seen the tout, but that amuses me. But birthday videos that have come out from other wrestlers have been epic. A couple of years ago for the Evil Doc's birthday, the entire locker room were given cakes, maybe muffins, but cakes, a little bit larger than a cupcake, and they all got to throw them at him. I attended a house show where poor Justin Roberts took a cake to the face and two cans of whipped cream. Ruined a perfectly good suit. But on your birthday, you're supposed to take the abuse, and John Cena no-sold his birthday. I protest.
I guess you can get away with that when you're the chosen child of the company sometimes. I will say this, though. You're talking about the birthday incidents. I'm kind of upset now that I think about it because I've been to one wrestler's birthday show one time.
Okay.
I was at the 2010, I believe it was. Yeah, 2000. Okay. King of the Ring Raw edition.
Okay.
Where King Sheamus was crowned. Was it 2010 or 2009? I'm losing track of.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. And that, people won't remember this, but that was Jerry Lawler's birthday night. And I don't think we had any, it's been a while since I've checked anything from that show, but I don't think we had any cake incidents or anything. I was disappointed there. I mean, we got Lawler in a match, but we didn't get any special incidents like that.
Most of the time that happens off camera, too, because, you know.
Yeah, but I stay after camera. I mean, I stayed one time after camera for a Raw I went to, and the main event was Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and JBL versus Hulk Hogan, John Cena, and Batista, and Shawn Michaels ripped his pants, and they had to duct tape it shut.
There are pictures. I have seen pictures.
Yeah.
One of the dark matches we had was, I think it was, I want to say John Cena and Shawn Michaels versus Triple H and Ric Flair.
Okay.
And I remember there was a little kid in the crowd that was booing and yelling at Triple H, and he kept pointing back at the kid, taunting the kid. Sean runs over there, picks up the kid, because it couldn't have been, the little guy's only like 3 or 4 years old.
Right.
Sean picks up this kid, takes him out of the crowd, and starts running around the ring with Hunter chasing him.
Doofus!
Doofus! But wrestlers in general are doofuses, and slowly but surely the fans are turning into doofuses, because there were plenty of fans dressed for the occasion at these shows. And
oh, God. I know where this is going.
And I noticed that there was an extra dark match in the parking lot of the O2 after Raw, with three goofballs, one dressed as Bret Hart, one dressed as The Undertaker, and the other one dressed as Ziggles. and some guy in a red and black striped shirt running in as the referee. The crowd was into it. The crowd was absolutely positively into it.
This match needed the guy on Raw. You saw him dressed like Sandow.
That was brilliant. I was hoping. I'm surprised there wasn't somebody sitting next to him with some sort of obnoxious mustache. So, I wonder if I've started a trend. Anyway, so with all this wonderful stuff going on, do you miss CM Punk yet?
A little bit, but at the same time, I can kind of understand why it is that he's taking his hiatus, so it's definitely at least an enjoyable one.
Yeah, he's turning on his inner comic book geek and took Lita to the Iron Man 3 premiere and, ooh, Punk cleanup, nice.
Yeah, I saw which of these two Wizard Worlds that I thought he was going to be at, because I got two postcards from Wizard World. Which one? Yep, he's going to be at Wizard World NYC.
Okay. So yeah, him and Lita are going to chill and watch a couple of movies and probably a few other things. But time off well earned. The good news is there's enough going on Raw and on SmackDown to keep us, to keep us occupied, entertained, out of trouble. Okay, that's a reach.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, did I? I did forget to mention something. Since we did get to see Big E work. We got to see him work Zack Ryder, and as broke on our show last week, thanks to Mr. Waters, there was that tease of Z Long Island story coming back. And Zach essentially saying, screw this, I'm out of here.
Certainly sounds like it, given the recent pair of tights that said, push me.
At least they're on the back. But is this a scripted heel turn? Is this a forced heel turn? Is this I got to get my ass out of WWE turn? DRM, your thoughts?
All I know is you squash is good.
Admittedly, he does. So, where does this leave him, Chris? Is he going to be forever enhancement talent? English.
I don't try to. Yeah, I'm trying to do this in foreign language. No. From what I can tell right now, it looks like at best they're probably gonna just keep him jobbing, but they have surprised me in the past with people before because, like, they you never know what they're gonna do. Sometimes I never thought they'd put Jack Swagger up in the position he's in now, again after his year last year, so you never know. They might just do a quick heel turn on Zack Ryder and give him another shot at the U.S. title or something. I don't know. If not, then this is just his way of saying, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Fair enough. Forth, your thoughts.
Yeah, much like Chris, I'm not sure entirely if this is him being turned heel or if he is indeed saying, you know what, I'm not resigned to jobbing for the rest of my career and just wanting to get the heck out of there.
I've got my fingers crossed for him either way. I mean, I think a heel turn would freshen up his character. I don't know if they need any more heels in the mid-card. I would like to see Zach on my TV a little more often. Then again, I would also like to see Mason Ryan and Trent Barretta and Curt Hawkins and a few other guys. But the good news
I can agree with the Curt Hawkins thing. Just put them back together for a little bit if all else fails.
I could at least have my fake edges back.
Yes.
I'll have you know, Chris, I was at Armageddon 07 when they debuted.
Ah, nice.
And you know what's the sad part is? Stupid me is trying to look over everybody's heads at the ring when the stupid monitor is to my right. And I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
Uh-oh.
Oh. And now we get to introduce Chris to the massive list of devices.
I didn't know Hornswoggle was a guest on this show.
No. The NAWC general manager just tends to notify us on a variety of devices, depending on who's working the show. Okay. Unfortunately, neither of our tech geeks are here. So I'm just going to pull it up here on my laptop and see what he has to say. And let's see, what has he got to say?
It doesn't matter what he has. No, sorry.
No. That'll get you kicked off the show.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The GM says, I wonder if Impact's ratings went down when they found out that one of our guys was in the crowd.
If anything, it would have gone up.
Exactly. It was DJ, for crying out loud. He was wearing a Macho Man shirt. He said he got on within the first 2 minutes of the show. Then they probably told him to take his shirt off. Let's see what else the GM's got on here. Still stuff to talk about. Talk about pay-per-views. Talk about both WrestleManias. Both? Oh, I see what he wants. Okay. And I know you know that this, and then it just descends into da 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 da. I need a music major to look at the back of the new Fandango shirt and tell me if the music staff there is accurate.
I'm not a music major, but one of the people on one of the message boards that I go to and Nikki goes to actually played that on his piano, apparently, according to him. So apparently it is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. That's awesome.
And I am a resident music geek, so let me take a look at it and I'll get an answer when we come back.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So the restrooms are open and the snack machines are plugged in, so let's take a little breather here. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW 83 Network.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
ALS doesn't just kill you. It shuts you down. Little by little, bit by bit.
It starts small. Maybe it's holding a pencil that gets difficult.
Or getting up from your chair.
Then you find it hard to turn the pages of your book.
Because you can't move your fingers.
Your mind keeps working, but your body doesn't respond.
You won't see it coming, because no one knows where it comes from.
Soon you can't hug your mother or pick up your child.
You won't be able to tie your shoes.
You don't need to tie your shoes because now you can't walk.
You can't eat or shave.
Or laugh or sing.
First you can't catch the ball, then you can't catch your breath.
ALS doesn't just kill you.
It steals your life, a little bit at a time.
And it doesn't stop until there's nothing left.
Unless we stop it first. Unless we stop it now.
I'm Steve Gleason. Let's put our heads together and find a cure for ALS.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/OperationRestoreOurShore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
Hi, I'm Chris Clark, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Yeah, like that joke hasn't been done 50 million times already.
And we are back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with 4th VRM and our newbie, Chris Waters. How you holding up, Chris?
With my body. No. I'm doing well.
Good. You are faring well on this show. You will be judged once the microphones are turned off.
And once Jim is here so we can torture him with Pony.
Yes. That show is going to happen. You, Chris, and me, and Jim.
And no, get Ethan too.
Yes, we can get Ethan in here. And it will be epic.
Oh, I can never leave home without my time cannon.
Shall we dub that episode Pony Apocalypse?
Pretty much.
Well, pretty much any show where Jim is present here or on my show is Pony Apocalypse, because...
I'll have to check those out.
He's a hater.
Yeah.
No, he's a closet brony. He knows that he likes it. It just doesn't register in his mind very well.
He will join the herd.
Send him.
So, but we will save that evil planning for when the microphones are off as well, because Jim might have to edit this episode. So, with the dust settled from WrestleMania 29, WWE is bragging that they have had, as they seem to have every year, the highest grossing WrestleMania ever.
Well, yeah, because they keep jacking up the ticket prices.
Thank you. $2,000 seats, which I remember only paying $750 for mine. Yeah.
I only spent $300 for mine, but then again, I was in floor seats back then.
Yeah, I spent $3 for mine, and I was in the riser section.
See, that's what I mean. I paid what I paid. I walked home with, I got a chair. And we were only 5 rows back, so, and I paid for that for quite a while. Anyway, so, but straight out of WWE, they had announced that WrestleMania 29 grossed in excess of $72 million.
Just from gate?
They don't say where all this fits in. So I'm guessing they're counting gate, pay-per-view buys, merchandise, VIP packages, travel packages, concessions, and parking. And maybe even train fare, VRM. Because, no, I can't say that because the prices for the size of the crowd they had, which is roughly only about 600 more than they had in Detroit for 23. You know, they pulled in some crazy gate. But again, this figure does not say specifically where they're pulling it from. They're just pulling it's not that they're pulling this number out of their ass, but I think that they're padding it, Chris, with a lot of the extracurriculars that go around WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's the thing about it nowadays with WrestleMania. Even when I went to 20, we didn't have everything that they do now. Plus, you have to consider that they might be adding not only the WrestleMania Day stuff, they might be adding the Access Day stuff in there, including the Hall of Fame ceremony. So that could jump up the prices for everything as well.
That's what I mean. The fact, you know, they got their other kind of bragging, you know, we had fans from all 50 states and 34 different countries. That's a typical WrestleMania, that
right.
You will have people from all over the world attend this event. And, you know, and this is why cities are begging for Mania, as you know, like the Super Bowl or the Olympics anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty much become something that could make your city really profitable for at least a week or so.
Go ahead.
No, I lost track. I was going to say, go ahead.
Okay, so Vince's evil takeover is nearing fruition. Pittsburgh Fable Incorporated. Anyway,
when we have the live action version of Crush Hour, tell me. I want to see how the twisty rockets work in real life.
There you go.
Gosh.
I'll have you know, I spent real money on that game and actually beat it.
I will be spending real money eventually when I decide to review it once I get my finances in order.
Yes, you do have some finances to get in order.
Yes.
Totally not picking on you right now. Anyway.
Right.
So, yes, speaking of saving your pennies, the pay-per-view schedules for 2014 are starting to trickle out. And we already knew about WrestleMania being in New Orleans. But we don't have the proper panelist here for me to comment about the fact that the Rumble will be in Pittsburgh in early 2014, which means DJ will likely go. And Elimination Chamber will be held February 23rd, 2014, at the Target Center up here in Minneapolis. So, why, yes, I'm going. I have every intention of going. So I start saving my pennies now. One, two, three. Sorry. Not now, we're all on the air. But the, you know, just the experience of pay-per-views, and I think everybody here, well, Forth, have you been to a pay-per-view?
Just Backlash in 09. Otherwise, no pay-per-views, just free TV and house shows.
But Backlash is still still technically a pay-per-view. Now it's just called Payback. I've been to way too many pay-per-views. I could hold a seminar and seat them with my chairs. But I don't have the full schedule. Hey, Tech, do we have the full 2014 schedule out there somewhere? If you could look that up for me, please. No, we do not. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I just saw the two ones listed, though.
Okay. I got him looking at it.
Okay.
But of course WrestleMania made a shit ton of money. I would just like some better details of pulling all that money together. I'm actually very happy that it's going to be in New Orleans next year. They still need the money. Stuff still ain't back in order in that area. I had a very good friend who lived in Baton Rouge who worked at a hotel in that area and actually had several rooms were being held by families who had lost their homes in Katrina. Yeah. So that cluster still isn't quite cleaned up yet. So if, you know, $70 million can do a lot for any city VRM, even New York.
Oh, brain fart.
That's all right.
Yeah.
But, don't mind me. I'm just kind of stretching at this point. Let's see. What did he say? Unknown as of other dates, except probably SummerSlam, which, of course, is going to be in Los Angeles because they want...
Of course.
Because they want to piggyback into the summer movie season. Mm-hmm. I really wish they wouldn't do that. SummerSlam is a show that needs to be shared. As somebody who got to go to the last SummerSlam before they locked it into LA.
Well, LA needs something to cheer since the Lakers are likely going to be out in the first round. Oh, I went there.
Oh, you're very welcome to go there. You're so very welcome to go there.
Yeah, I wish they would move SummerSlam around too, if just out of a personal jealousy thing. I've been to a Rumble, I've been to a WrestleMania, I've been to a Survivor Series, I just have to get to a SummerSlam to complete that. And there's not one anytime soon down in Florida, even though that would be an okay place to have them too, besides California all the time.
I was gonna say, there's, you know, I can think of a couple of arenas in Tampa and Orlando that would be more than happy to take care of that.
Even Miami, they could do that again too. So
yeah, they could go to Miami. I wouldn't recommend it because I wouldn't go to Miami again if you paid me. I went there for Uncensored 2000. and that was interesting. Anyway, as somebody who has completed the Big Four. Oh, I'm not allowed to brag. but yeah, actually, for locking down a pay-per-view in one area just isn't fair.
No, it kind of takes the allure out of it, to be honest. I'm not sure exactly why, but it just feels like, oh, it's the LA pay-per-view.
Yeah, kind of like this ought to stick. The fact that WCW used to do their one pay-per-view in Sturgis every year, Road Wild, just so they could get a bunch of drunken bikers in the crowd.
And make no money off of it for the game.
Pretty much. But just doing that, just because a couple of the high muckamucks like Bischoff and Hogan were big into motorcycles at the time. And I don't even think Hogan's allowed to ride a motorcycle anymore.
Yeah.
Since he's not even allowed to do a leg drop. Let's see. Speaking of the Walking Wounded. Oh. TNA did a press conference in Tampa that was broken up a bit by Aces and Eights. And in true Thunder in Paradise fashion, once they were chased away, they escaped on jet skis.
Okay, now I'm getting the image of one of them acting like Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down. Riding that jet ski.
Why is it TNA anymore? Why is it anymore TNA starting to sound like one of Hogan's movies? Well, actually, wait, I take that back. Hogan's movies made more sense than TNA. Never mind.
There
That's
you go.
A stretch.
Yeah, you're Santa with muscles?
This is why I watched his raft last night. Probably why Forth watched drafts with me, as well as Jason as well as Jim and Chico, and Jason was actually there. And you joined halfway in.
Just to listen to the nonsense. I didn't even turn my TV on. And just listening to the Vikings troll. No, we don't want Manateo.
It's like I was all ready to give that a worst possible thing, but moving on.
So, I didn't mean to steal your thunder on that one, VRM. Also conspicuous by his absence, but we touched on the last show, which still has not broadcast, but I'm not complaining. The Rock, who had gone in for hernia surgery and to get his abs taped back together. Chris, you've seen this goofy picture of him in the Superman shirt.
Yes, I think I have that same shirt too, actually, at home somewhere, but
I seriously thought it was a Photoshop.
From what I've read, I looked up something. Apparently, Rock had to have a lot of his intestines taken out or something, some of the stuff inside his stomach taken out before they could do the surgery and then put back into his body before they could finish it up. So
I think I remember the tweet about that. He said he talked to the doctor that put his intestines back in place. It was kind of romantic.
Yeah. Rock has an interesting view of romanticism.
That just makes my stomach itch.
Yeah.
But apparently the surgery went well, and he is resting comfortably and periodically flexing and running down the doctors. It doesn't matter how long I have to wait here. Anyway, but this has also put a dent in his movie plans, as Pain and Gain has hit the theaters. And apparently it's actually getting some good reviews, so now I'm getting curious. I mean, I've only seen a couple of Rocks movies. One of them, Be Cool.
I saw Walking Tall and Doom.
I'm sorry. What'd you see, Chris?
The only rock movie I've seen is Get Smart, and I was got a surprise visit from Kali in that one there.
Okay, so that makes. Let's see. I saw Get Smart. I saw Walking Tall. And I saw Be Cool, where he played the cowboy. So.
And none of us apparently seen either The Scorpion King or The Mummy Returns. With the...
Oh, shoot. No. I saw Mummy Returns. Yeah,
that was just on AMC or... No, Sci-Fi. Just like this past week, so...
Okay.
And since he's already, once Pain and Gain is... done its thing, then Rock's probably going to go off to his Fast Five spinoff.
Yeah, but speaking of Pain and Gain,
yay,
Michael Bay had some comments about The Rock not being at the premiere.
And I've got some comments about Michael Bay and his Turtles movie, but go ahead.
He says, quote, "Dwayne's hurt tonight. He was pushing it too hard. He needs to grow up and stop wrestling 300-pound men." To which Triple H responded, "Who's The Rock wrestling that's 300 pounds?
Besides, I got to say, anyone that did that Transformers sight gag with the creature's, quote, scrotum, has a lot to say about growing up.
A director who wants to completely rewrite the origins of a tried and true franchise has a little growing up to do himself.
Yeah, I'll take the prime continuity over Bayformers any day.
Yes.
And everything I've read so far about his Turtles project, excuse me while I prepare a response.
Jesus!
You know, everything I've read about his Turtles project is making Next Mutation look like genius.
Not even Kevin Nash could save that movie.
No. I'm not talking the movie Next Mutation. I'm talking about that TV show with the female turtle.
Oh!
Oh.
Yeah. The only reason I knew of that show was because of the Power Rangers crossover, but that's not this discussion.
No. I knew about it. First, I thought it was fan art, and then one of the divas dressed up as a Ninja Turtle, and I spent the whole match waiting for Matt Stryker to call her Venus. Stryker, you have the comic geek in you. I miss Matt Stryker at the table. I really do.
You need to watch Superstars, then. He's on there all the time.
Yes, Scott Stanford and Matt Stryker, two of the most underrated announcers, and somehow Tony Dawson doesn't get gets a microphone.
Yeah. Tony Dawson's now the Superstars commentator. Stanford's not there anymore.
Don't say that too loud. Jim will have a fit.
Oh, I will keep it on the down low.
So. So yeah, no, Michael Bay needs to be slapped around a little bit. I wish I had the pull. I wish I had the reach. But I have the whole interwebs in front of me. So Mr. Bay, if you by chance come across this podcast, I defy you. I dare you to attend a WWE event. Because there's one 300-pound man, actually, he's billed at 299 pounds, who would like to speak with you.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Well said.
It won't happen, of course. Or if it does, then Bay is going to write his own movie that wrestlers are. Let's see, how bad could he do it? He'd have to call Vince Russo to make it worse.
And he's got to make the pyro last like 20 minutes for a single entrance.
Ah, yes, in explosions. Lots of explosions.
Here's how Michael Bay can make really bad thing about wrestlers.
Speaking of, hold on, before we go to that, apparently he backed off the comments.
Boo!
saying it was a joke and that he hopes The Rock wrestles for 10 more years.
Yeah, someone realizes not.
Yeah.
Someone must have told him about what happened to the guy that killed the goose that laid the golden egg.
I hope Michael Bay was wearing dark pants. Mm.
but Nick, you were saying, how could he ruin it? It's simple. He directs, and he gets the people who wrote Ready to Rumble to write the movie.
No. Ready to Rumble was a good movie in its own bad way.
Yeah, but then you put his directing with it.
Yeah, even he couldn't ruin Ready to Rumble. Sorry, Forrest.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of a somewhat related note, one of the stars of Ready to Rumble, whom many would also argue was one of the least deserving Zucker winners of all time, his victory in WCW, it was 13 years ago today.
13 years ago as of our taping on April the 26th. And the fact that he defeated Eric Bischoff. And the fact that we're still talking about it means he did something right.
Hearing what he did with the money, he definitely did something right.
Because, and it's been, he's made it very clear that he is a huge fan of the business. And he actually fought to not be awarded this title. I think he's still tight with Diamond Dallas Page. But, and Ready to Rumble, I'm sorry, is just essentially 90 minutes of a Mark's wet dream of the wrestling business. Seriously.
I just had to make the joke about Ready to Rumble just so we could segue into that mention, actually. That's cool.
No.
Yeah.
There we go.
I haven't seen it myself yet, so.
You must sit down and you must watch it twice because you're going to miss stuff.
All right. I probably will when I eventually review it on my things. So.
We'll get to the shilling shortly.
Okay, sorry. I'll stop that.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Just see it for the scene that with one of the wrestlers running around with a toilet seat around his neck and to see Sid Vicious crying. And not because he broke his leg. Anyway, yes, I went there. Okay. I promise we will go out on a good note. At least it is good news for me. And anyone else who was ever an ECW fan. It is my understanding that a video has leaked onto the interwebs. Loosely translated, somebody posted it. That the hall that made ECW famous will reopen its doors to wrestling in fall of 2013. We are coming, however, I know that many of those ECW guys who made it happen are in the twilight of their careers. But we have CZW, we have DGUSA, we have Chikara, we have so many other organizations that could utilize this arena. VRM, that's an afternoon drive for you.
Yeah, but.
But
I don't know the Philly area too well, and there's a place near Philly that I'm pretty sure I don't want to be anywhere near, and that's called Camden.
No. And I've been to the arena twice myself. And it's not a pleasant area. I will say that the first time I went as a fan, and we were very fortunate because somehow the trunk got popped on our rental car and nothing had been taken. Second time, I got to walk in with my gear. I didn't formally work the show, but it still counts. But it's good news for that the people who own that arena realize that somebody said earlier about, you know, killing the goose that lays the golden egg.
Yes, indeed. And I think about the fact that the sportatorium is gone, that at the very least says, you know, history can continue on here.
So that does make me very happy. I still think there's still plenty of wrestling out there that can go into that hall and make a couple of thousand rowdy fans very, very happy. Although the wrestling world is also very happy. Let's see, I see some notes in here that my engineer dropped off about Scott Hall, who recently had surgery. He's doing much better. He is up and walking around. He has been sober for 2 months? Over 3 months, 93 days, as of this taping.
Nice. It's good to hear. I always liked Scott Hall when I first started watching and when he was Razor Ramon, so I'm glad that he's actually following through with this and actually cleaning up his life now, finally. Kind of wish it happened earlier, but what can you do? At least he's doing it. That's the good
thing.
And this was some speculation. An article was posted, I believe, on Blue Bar, if it wasn't Blue Bar Cage, I forget, but there was some talk about next year's Hall of Fame. If Scott Hall and Jake Roberts stay straight, should we have those two and Paige all go in together?
Yes.
I'm surprised you had to think about that. Fourth, your thought.
I would definitely like to see them inducted. You know, all three obviously in the ring have contributed a lot, and outside of the ring right now, they are an example of the fact that we can turn the downward trend around. We can change things for the better. So, yes.
Chris, care to make that a sweep?
Yep, it's a sweep here. I wanted to see Scott Hall in there. I'm wondering, though, if they will induct him solo or if they'll induct him with Nash as the outsiders. That's the only question I have.
Because he was so messed up that he, you know, they didn't invite him when they did the Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Shawn went in. So I would hope that he could go in, you know, if he doesn't go in as Razor Ramon, yeah, they could go in as he could go in with Nash as the outsiders. Jake Roberts is still a model for what heels are supposed to be. And now that he's turned around and he looks great. He looks really good. And the fact that Diamond Dallas Page is saving two guys that people thought were too far gone, that he's actually getting these guys up and moving and straight. So, Paige, now I want you to pick up your phone and I want you to call Tammy freaking Sitch.
I thought she was arrested again.
When she gets out of jail, I want her to go to DDP's and I want him to straighten her out. you know, it's too late for a lot of guys, but, you know, Scott, we figured was gone. I mean, VRM4th, were either of you guys on the show when we did when we talked about E60?
I think I was. I don't remember much of it though.
When we talked about Scott Hall, and we talked about his son trying to get into the business, the fact that they weren't getting along, and the fact that Scott was still so screwed up, and just the dark shadow that put over the business, and where he is now is just miraculous. So, you know, my hat's off to DDP. You know, if any of these guys go into the Hall of Fame, I'm not dissing on Jake and I'm not dissing on Scott, but I almost want Paige to go in first. Just so that he can induct Jake and Scott.
Yeah.
And that would be a pretty close to a dream class for me to get those three in there. Those are the last three that I would really want to see besides a personal one that's kind of goofy, but it's Andy Kaufman. I want to see him, but then get those three in as soon as you can. Once they get, if they stay clean and stay sober and everything.
Yeah. So I think that's a good note to call this a show. So, Chris, you being the new guy, do you have anything to promote?
Yes, I do actually. My site is MrCMWaters@blogspot.com. That's where I put my reviews. I do a show called Watercolors where I review old cartoons or cartoons and movies. I do a show that I haven't updated in a while as well called The Washout where I review wrestling-based media. So far, I've only done two episodes, one of a Mario 3 cartoon and one of a comic book where Captain Lou Albano was meeting the Honeymooners. And I did a thing this past Christmas called Episodic Christmas, where I looked at TV episodes that were Christmas-based.
Okay. Let's see. VRM, do you have something to promote?
Do I have something to promote? I spent 4 hours last night with that damn draft.
That's 4 hours you will never have back.
Yeah, so WrestleCraft Sports Digest is off to the editor's, is off to the combiner's desk to put the finishing touches to get it up. That should be up soon.
Force, do you have anything to promote?
Well, two things. First, Typho Show, which we didn't get to do this week, but it's usually Tuesdays, 11 Eastern on the other place.
Typho, get your ass over here.
And also, this is something I don't have anything to do with, but on YouTube, if you search for OSW review, you'll find kind of a funny review of a lot of the old school 80s, early 90s pay-per-views.
Very cool. If you are not listening to us through CLW83.com or WrestleChat.net, you can actually take us with you wherever you go, thanks to the app known as Stitcher. Stitcher.com, just head out there. You can download it to your smartphone and download it to your tablet. I have done so. I will not do a video demonstration. You can figure that out on your own. And look us up under CLW83 in our entire umbrella of shows. That would also include Touch 'Em All, The BS Big Show, Red State, Blue State, Down the Tubes, Pixel Nation, and a lot of other nonsense that we just, you know, we get together and blather about. We cross-promote. I show up on WrestleCraft Sports Digest periodically. I've threatened to go on to Red State, Blue State. I don't think I'm allowed. But that takes care of what I have to promote, because there really isn't anything else I have to promote, because I'm right here as part of the North American Wrestling Connection, part of WrestleChat.net and the CLW 83 network. For VRM, for Forth, for the newbie Chris Waters, my name is Nikki Heyman. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and we'll try to get this all straightened out. See you next time.